Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren, and we are so glad that you've joined us today because we're beginning a series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick looks into the scriptures and unpacks what it means to live in community, have real conversations about what matters most, and face discouragement with courage and faith. It's honest and hopeful, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss a second. All right, well, I'm ready to get started, so here is part one of a message called Don't Let Anyone Steal Your Identity.
One of the great tasks of life is figuring out who you are. What's your identity? Discovering who God made you to be. That's one of the fundamental tasks of life. Why on earth and what on earth am I here for? How you see yourself affects everything else in your life. How you see yourself, your identity, affects your relationships. It affects your happiness. It affects your stress level. It determines your success level in life. It just affects everything. Your connection to God is profoundly influenced by how you see you. What is your identity? And now this search for your identity starts early on in life. It starts way back in school. And you're trying to figure out who am I and what am I and what am I supposed to be and how am I supposed to act. And it starts in school, but it can continue on the rest of your life. So this week we're going to start a new series, but I want to begin with Don't Let Anyone Steal Your Identity. And the reason why is because identities get stolen all the time. Satan is constantly working in a spiritual battle to keep you from knowing your true identity. He's working overtime, and he uses all kinds of tools to keep you from knowing who you are. He uses first the opinions of other people, what your parents say about you, what your peers say about you, what your partner says about you, what professionals say about you. And he's always trying to use other people's opinions to shape and conform you to what other people think you ought to be rather than what God says you ought to be. He uses hurt and pain. Hurt and pain never leave you where they find you. You start in one area, but you end up over here, and it can profoundly affect your identity. He uses the media, and today he uses social media. Because you get on social media and you see everybody living their so-called perfect life, and you think, how come I don't look like him or her? Or why don't I have that? And why don't I do that? And this competitive, always comparing yourself, feels like you're being left out. Satan's using that to keep you messed up in your identity. He suggests thoughts in your mind. It's called temptations. And he says stuff to you. But the number one way Satan keeps you from discovering your true identity in Christ is the lies you tell yourself. You lie to yourself all the time. And you tell yourself stuff's good and stuff's bad, and oftentimes you're not really a good judge of you because you can't see yourself from an objective position. You're intensely involved in you, obviously. And so you tell yourself stuff all the time. If you go around telling yourself, you know, I'm uncoordinated, or I'm dumb, or I'm ugly, all right, whatever you tell yourself, you're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself right now. You have a constant stream going on in your mind. You're going, now, is what Rick's saying interesting to me? Because if it is, I'm going to listen. If it's not, I'm going to tune out and think about something, how hungry I am or whatever, you know. Ooh, I am kind of hungry right now. So how do I know who I am? How do I know who God made me to be? Well, there's a great philosopher named Pascal. Let's see if I can find that quote here somewhere. He said something really great. I know he did. Well, maybe I'll tell you later. Here's what he said. The only way you're ever going to know yourself is by knowing God through Jesus Christ. He said, we only know God through Jesus Christ. We only know ourselves through Jesus Christ. We only know the meaning of our life through Jesus Christ. We only know the meaning of our death through Jesus Christ. It is in Christ we know ourselves. Now, that's not particularly a new idea. It's been in the Bible for thousands of years. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in Christ and finds its purpose in him. The only way you're ever going to know who you are and what your purpose is in life is in Christ, because he created you. You didn't create you, so you can't tell you what your purpose is. Now, that little phrase there, in Christ, is one of the most important phrases in the Bible. In the New Testament, it is used 89 times, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And the phrase in him is used 79 times. You know, we call ourselves Christians today. The word Christian is only used like twice in the entire Bible. It's not used very much at all. Instead of believers being called believers or disciples or followers of Jesus or Christians, in the Bible, the most common term for being a follower of Christ is, I'm in Christ, in Christ. What does that mean? Well, of those 89 times it says that you are in Christ, 35 times it tells you what your identity is because you're in Christ. Now, we don't have time to go through 35 different identity factors of your life, but today, Kay and I are going to take you through four. You're getting Kay today. You get a doubleheader. Okay, you get a doubleheader. What can I say? And so we're going to take you through just four of the 35 marks of your identity. You picked a good week to come to church. Okay, so write these down. They're very important. This phrase, in Christ, used 89 times. And as I said, in him, used 79 times. Now let me show you another verse. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says this. It is in Christ, there's that phrase, and whenever we see this phrase today, I want you to circle it on your outline. It is in Christ that we find out who we are, that's identity, and what we're living for, that's purpose. If you want to know your identity in life and you want to know your purpose in life, the only way you're ever going to know it is by talking to the Creator who made you. And God is in Christ and Christ is in God. God made you. You can't tell yourself who your purpose is because you didn't make you. So if you look for your identity in other people, you're not going to find it. It is in Christ we find out who we are, and it is in Christ we find out what in the world we were made for. What's our purpose in life? So we're going to look at four of those. So let's just deal with four. Who are you in Christ? You need to learn these in your own life, and then you need, as I said, pass them on to the next generation. Number one, here's the first characteristic. And I want you to think of these four things as like a table with four legs. That your identity is built on four different pillars. And if you get these in your life, you're going to have a stable life. Okay, pillar number one. In Christ, the Bible says this, I am chosen, loved, and accepted. In Christ, I am chosen by God, loved by God, and accepted by God. Now, those are three things we all want in life. We all want to be chosen, we all want to be loved, and we all want to be accepted. Well, you already are by God himself. Now, first, these are the three foundations of the first pillar of true self-worth. To feel good about yourself, a true self-identity. Now first, you're chosen. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In Christ, there's that verse, or that phrase, God chose us before the world was made so that we would be his holy people. Because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted, and that's what pleased him. The Bible says God created the entire universe because he wanted a family. God wanted children to love. The whole reason the universe exists is God wanted children to love. Now, let me ask this question. According to this verse, when did God choose you? Look at it real close. When did God choose you? Where and when? Yeah, before the world was made. You might underline that. If you grasp this, you'll never again have a problem with low self-esteem. The Bible says that before God chose to create the sun, he had already chosen you. He knew he was going to make you millions of years before he made you. Before God chose to create the universe, he had already chosen you. In fact, that's why he decided to make the universe. He wanted a place where you could live. Before God created the world, before God chose any tree, he chose you. Before God chose the oceans, he chose you. Before God chose every rock that exists, he chose you. Last week, we were up in Canada, and I actually got to walk out on a glacier. It was really cool. Before God created that glacier, he chose me. He chose you. That ought to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. That you were chosen before anything else was created. God says, I want this person to exist, so I'm going to create the environment that that person will exist. That requires an enormous amount of planning. You're not only chosen first before the moon and the stars, God chose you. That shows you how important you are. God chose you. You're not only chosen first, you're chosen by God. Now, this is the antidote to every child's worst fear. And the worst fear of every child is to be chosen last on a team. You know, when they say, okay, we're going out to recess and we're going to play soccer or play softball, and you guys are the two captains, you go, oh, please don't let me be chosen last. The shame, the dishonor. And as the crowd gets smaller and smaller, they still haven't chosen me, they still haven't chosen me. And nobody wants to be the last. You're not the last chosen, you're the first. That's how much God says you matter to him. You were chosen before God chose any bird, before he chose any animal, before he chose to make any. He said, I'm going to make all these other things because I'm going to make you. That is a foundation of your identity. Now, not only that, there's more. Because you're not only chosen, you're loved. That's why he says God did it because of his love. You are loved. Look at this verse on the screen, Ephesians 1, verse 4. You have been chosen, oh, that's 1 Peter 2, 9. You've been chosen by God long before he laid down the earth's foundation. See, he says it again. Before the earth was even created, God had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love. Do you realize that God is focused on you? You're not focused on God. You're rarely focused on God. God is focused on you all the time. Can God focus on everybody at the same time? Yeah, why? He's God. There is never a moment of your life when God is not focused on you. You're not focused on him, but he's focused on you. He sees every high, low, every good, bad, every hill, every valley, every tear, every joy. There's never a moment in your life when God is not focused on you. Why? Because he made you to love you. You're loved. Will God ever stop focusing on me? Will he ever stop loving me? No. Look at this next verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. I am certain, confident, I'm certain that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life, nor death, nor angels, nor demons. Demons can't separate you from God's love. Not the present, nor the future. Not the powers above or below. Nothing in all creation shall ever separate us from God's love for us in Christ. Circle that. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why can't I be separated from God's love? Well, for two reasons. It's unconditional and it's eternal. It's unconditional. In other words, God doesn't say, I love you if. That's conditional. God doesn't say, I love you because. That's conditional. God says, I love you, period. I love you in spite of the fact that you don't always love me, because God is love. God's love for you is based on who he is, not what you do. It's not based on your performance. It's based on his character. You can't make God stop loving you. You can try, but you will fail, because God is love. It's unconditional. But not only that, it's consistent. You never have to wonder about God's love. You don't wake up in the morning and go, I wonder if God's going to love me today after what I did last night. God says, my love for you is not fickle. It's not unpredictable. He doesn't hug you one day and slug you the next day. We never need to ask, will God love me? He will. In fact, we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. Anytime you doubt God's love, then you think, I know more than God. I'm going to do what I want to do rather than what I want to do. How's that working out for you? Your life just sailing along with no problems, no depression, no discouragement. We always get into problems when we doubt God's love and when we doubt God's wisdom. But there's more. In this first pillar, I'm not just chosen by God. You're not just chosen by God. You're not just loved by God. There's more. You're accepted. Most people don't realize this. You're accepted by God. We spend our entire lives trying to be accepted. You wear the clothes you wear because you want to be accepted. You drive the car you drive because you want to be accepted. You choose your friends, the food you eat, the things you say on the internet. Everything you do is out of this massive need to say, accept me, accept me, accept me. I want to be accepted. Well, friend, you're already accepted by God who created you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, verse 30. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ. There's that phrase again, in Christ. And he says, you didn't do this to yourself. I did it for you. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ, Jesus. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. Now, how does Jesus make us acceptable to God, and what does that mean? Well, here's the problem. God's perfect, and you're not, and I'm not. How does a perfect God let an imperfect person into a perfect place called heaven? Well, something's got to happen. So God says, I'll take care of the problem myself. He comes to earth as a man in the form of Jesus Christ. God comes to earth, dies for your sin. This is called grace. This is called redemption. This is called being rescued by God. There are a whole bunch of theological terms. It's called justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. God says, I'm going to make you clean and perfect in my eyes, no matter what you've already done. God says, I came and I sent my son to die for you so that you are acceptable to me. So if God accepts you, why do you need the approval of other people? One of the most liberating things in life will be when you finally learn someday, I don't need other people's approval to be happy. You don't. You only need the approval of one person, God. And if God likes you and you like you, if you don't like me, if I like me and God likes me, what's your problem? I don't need your approval. I don't know if you know this or not, but some people don't like me. And they criticize me and they say, oh, you know, I spend no seconds of my life thinking about those people. Why? I don't need their approval to be happy. I'm happy while they're stewing and spewing. I don't like Rick Warren. Fine. God does. I'm chosen, I'm loved, and I'm accepted. You're chosen, you're loved, and you're accepted.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives.
So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.